Okay, we're going to start here at the bottom of Mem Gimel and Bet, just to review what we were discussing yesterday, which is that the statement of Shmuel, which is Emar Shmuel, Haiman the Old Svei Alpha Zuzah the Chavre, someone who lends 1,000 zuz to his friend, Mashken Le Kata the Maglo, takes some sort of small nominal collateral against it, Avad Kata the Maglo, he loses the small collateral, Avad Alva Zuzah, he loses the entire loan. Now the Gemara here at the bottom of Mem Gimel says, Lema Katanai, let us see, this is like a Machloka Tanaim, this position of Shmuel. Someone who lends his friend money, ala mashkon, ve'avada mashkon, and now the mashkon is lost, ishba v'tolot molotav, v'teke shvua, and he'll get his money, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says there seems to be no connection between the loss of the mashkon and his ability to collect the money. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva, mer yachol hu shiomar lo klum hil v'tani ala mashkon. The only reason you lent me is because of the mashkon. Avad mashkon, avad molotach. You don't give the mashkon back, you're not going to get your money back. Aval, someone lends 1,000 zuz with a shtar, and he places a mashkon there. Everybody agrees in that instance that if the mashkon is lost, then he'll lose all his money. So now we're going to explain the Gemara according to Rashi and the Girsa that Rashi has, and then we'll come back and explain it according to the Girsa that Tosfos wants to suggest. So Rashi's Girsa is similar to what we have in front of us now. Is Hechidami. What's the case here? If it's worth, the mashkon is equivalent to the value of the loan. My time at the Rebbe Eliezer. What's Rebbe Eliezer's reasoning? If the mashkon is equal to the value of the loan, how could Rebbe Eliezer claim that if you lost the mashkon that you can go collect your money and not have to worry about the mashkon at all? That doesn't seem to make any sense. Elalav, what is it? It must be a case where the mashkon is worth less than the value of the total loan. They're arguing in the position of Shmuel. And that is, Rashi says, Rebbe Eliezer, lately the Shmuel. Rebbe Eliezer does not hold of Shmuel, and that's why he says that even when you lose the mashkon, you don't lose the loan. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva does hold to that position of Shmuel. If he holds on the position of Shmuel, he believes that if you lose a portion of the mashkon, then you lose the entire amount of the loan. Because, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're simply a shomer chinam on the mashkon. If you lose the mashkon, you're patur from gneva ve'avida. Take a shvua that you were not posheh in it, and it's not in your possession, that you didn't steal it, and then you get your money back. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva holds like Shmuel, that if you lose the mashkon, when you accepted this mashkon, you accepted it as a mashkon, and therefore it's almost on an equivalent. You accepted that value as the value of the loan, as the way to get repayment of the loan. If you can't show the mashkon, then you will not get repayment of the loan. On the other hand, everybody agrees that if you took a mashkon after you lent money with a shtar, then you cannot collect the loan afterwards. Why is this? Because if you take out a loan with a shtar, you already have evidence to the loan. There are two possibilities about why a person takes a mashkon. The person takes a mashkon as a possibility of repayment of the loan, or as a karon dvarim, or as a way to remember the loan, or to ensure that the loan is not forgotten. Because then you can ask, what's the mashkon doing with me? It must be because I lent you money. Now, if you have a shtar, everybody agrees that the shtar is functioning as the raya, functioning as the proof that the loan is outstanding. That means in that case, everybody will agree that the mashkon itself is functioning as repayment of the loan, or as a way or a value against the loan. And therefore, even Rabbi Eliezer will agree in that instance that the loan, if the mashkon is lost, that the loan was no longer outstanding or no longer collectible. And that's where Rashi learns this beginning part of the sukkah. That the issue between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer is whether the mashkon is zikaron dvarim ba'alma or as piraon. Is it used as simply a reminder, and he's a shomer chinam on it? If he loses the reminder, then he still gets his loan back. Or is it used as some sort of equivalence to the loan? I mean, that the Rabbi Akiva believes that when the person takes the mashkon out, he somehow accepted that as complete payment for the loan, unless he returns the mashkon, in which case he will get compensated with the cash that he's owned for the loan. Tosfos, on the other hand, does not like the fact that Rabbi Eliezer will agree when the value of the loan is equal to the mashkon, that Rabbi Eliezer would agree that you can't collect the loan. He believes that even when the mashkon itself is equal to the value of the loan, Rabbi Eliezer believes that you can still collect the loan. And therefore, Tosfos does not have the gears that we have here, which is either Shavi Shur Zuzei, my time with the Rabbi Eliezer. That he has, does not have at all. That's left out of his gearsa. And then on top of that, the girsa that he has here is El Abdelav. You can see it in the widest line of Tosfos, Amen Daud Amen Aleph. Alkein Yirah, the girsa to Sarim, the Garsay, my lav. What's the case here? That's what we have, El Lav. The Delo Shavik. The case must be in a case where it's not equal. Perish. So now Tosfos says, what does it mean, not equal? My love, afiru b'dolo shavi. It doesn't mean just when it's not equal, but even when it's not equal. Rabbi Kiva itlei dehipsid kishmua. Rabbi Kiva believes not only when the meshkon is worth the full value of the loan, but even when it's worth less than the value of the loan, you lose the loan, like Shmuel. Rabbi Lezer itlei deshmuel. And Rabbi Lezer doesn't hold of Shmuel, and therefore, afiru b'dishavi yitol kol molotav. Therefore, even if it's equal to the full value of the loan, you will not collect anything over here. Ah, so that would be explanation between the machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva will simply be, do they hold the Shmuel or not? Irrespective or irrelevant here is what the value of the meshkon is. Is a meshkon zikaron devarim ba'alma? That's the position of Rabbi Eliezer. And it doesn't matter if it's equal to the value of the loan, less than the value of the loan, it's only a zikaron devarim ba'alma. If you lose it, you still get your loan back. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, is like Shmuel. And therefore, the meshkon is a form of piraon. It's a form of piraon. If you lose the meshkon, you will not get your money back. Now, according to Tosavot, how do we explain the case of Shtar? Why is the case of Shtar, does Rabbi Eliezer agree? Whereas according to Rashi, who says that Rabbi Eliezer will agree in cases where you have the Mashkon equal the full value of the loan, and in the case of Shtar, because there's no way it could be Zikaron Devarim Ba'alma, because you already have a Raya from the Shtar, therefore Rabbi Eliezer will also agree in that case. But according to Tosafot, who says that Rabbi Eliezer never agrees to the fact that when you lose the Mashkon, that the loan is gone, then how are you going to explain this case of Shtar? So now, Tosa says, Ubeseifa shilvo el gzuz bishtar, mode Rabbi Eliezer, the avdo melotav. Why? Shum de orcho de milto. That's the normal way. Shilvo bishtar, sheino til ne mashkon ba'oto shah. Nobody gives a mashkon at the time that you land with a shtar. You assume that the shtar is the proof and also the vehicle by which you will collect, and therefore you don't take mashkon. Therefore, it must be that the mashkon in that case is taken not at the time of the loan, but later on. Vikoni mashkon mid Rabbi Yitzchok. And therefore, he's koneh the mashkon. He becomes a shomer sechor over the mashkon, like the principle of Rabbi Yitzchok, which we'll see in a second. Now, if that's the case, we're in a second, we're going to set up the machlokas here in Rabbi Yitzchok itself. Right? So now, the Gemara says, no. V'hacha b'teshavi shir zuzeh. Everybody agrees the full value of the loan. Ubid Rabbi Yitzchak kamiflege. They're arguing in the position of Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rashi says, what does it mean? They're arguing in the position of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, minayin le Balchov shu koneh mashkon. Rabbi Yitzchak says, how do we know that a Balchov is koneh the mashkon? Koneh mashkon doesn't mean he's fully koneh the mashkon, even to the point that he's chayav and unseen. But it's koneh the mashkon to the extent that he now is a shomer sachar over the mashkon. Shnemar luchati yetztaka. If you return the mashkon, that will be classified as a tztaka when you return each day to the ani his mashkon. Now, im enu koneh mashkon tztaka minayin. If he doesn't acquire the mashkon, if the mashkon doesn't come into his possession for something, then what tztaka is it that he's giving over there? Minayin lo, how do you get any tztaka? Mikan. So for me, you prove that balchov koneh mashkon, that the creditor does take possession of the mashkon to a certain extent. And as Tosus points out, it's interesting. Chedesh Tasha says, tztaka minayin, dolo mikre tztaka, elim kem mechsero mamon. Tztaka is when you lose money. You have to give up money to be or accomplish the mitzvah of tztaka. Right, the mitzvah of chesed you can do without any monetary give up or any monetary loss, but tztaka means that you give up money and someone else gains that money. So here, unless you're giving up some rights, right, it can't be that you have tztaka. What are those rights? Those rights are that you are koneh, the creditor is koneh, the mashkon. So over here, Rashi says, okay, Rabbi Lezer, late Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Lezer doesn't hold up Rabbi Yitzchak. And therefore, even when the money is shaveh, is equal to the value of the mashkon, doesn't matter because you're not koneh the mashkon. It's only zikaron devarim ba'alma. And you remain always a shomer chinam on the item. If you're a shomer chinam on the item, then you will not lose out your loan. And then Rabbi Kiva holds of Rabbi Yitzchak. He holds of Rabbi Yitzchak that you're koneh the mashkon, you become a shomer sachar. If you lose the mashkon, now you're going to lose the entirety of the loan, according to Rabbi Akiva. Now, Tosfos is going to have to explain it slightly differently, because Tosfos just said the whole reason by Shtar that Rabbi Eliezer agrees to the position of Rabbi Akiva that you lose the mashkon, you lose your loan, is because by Shtar he says, oh, you took the collateral, shalom b'shat halva'ah, and he holds a Rabbi Yitzchak. But now we're just trying to suggest that he doesn't hold a Rabbi Yitzchak. And that's what Tosfos says over here, that when we establish the plug tayu of Rabbi Yitzchak, when we say the machlokes is Rabbi Yitzchak, that's only Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with Rabbi Yitzchak when the shat halva'ah. You take a mashkon at the time of the origination of the loan, there Rabbi Lezer doesn't hold the Rabbi Yitzchak, and that you're not koneh the mashkon. On the other hand, if you take the mashkon shelo b'shat halva, not at the time of halva, even Rabbi Lezer agrees that there you're koneh, because that's what the pasuk's talking about. The main thing that the pasuk's talking about, the proof that Rabbi Yitzchak is brought from, is shelo b'shat halva. So that's what Tosfos says, that the machlokes here between Rabbi Lezer and Kiva is only b'shat halva, only the time that you take out the loan, the original, or your origination of the loan. But Shlo B'Shat Halva, not the time, that's not at the time alone, he will not agree. And that's how Tosus explains the flow of the Gemara, as opposed to Rashi, who sees Rabbi Lezer agreeing in certain instances that Avad Mashkon, Avad Ma'utav, for instance, cases where he has the full value of the loan, or in cases where the shtar is present, therefore the mashkon must be piron and not zikaron devarim ba'alma. And we'll see in a second that the Gemara is now going to reject this idea that Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva argue in Rabbi Yitzchak. So Gemara says, Lema de Rabbi Yitzchak Tanayim. So let's say now that this statement of Rabbi Yitzchak is a machlokes Tanayim. It's a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer, which we never thought. We thought that his statement was a basic statement. So Gemara says, V'tisbara. Wait, does that make any sense? Ima damar Rabbi Yitzchak, shemashkano shlo v'sharat alva. Rabbi Yitzchak is talking about a case. Rabbi Yitzchak's whole situation is a case where he takes the mashkon shlo tova. Mashkano b'shat halva'ah, does mashkon tamadal, mi amar, who says that he holds that din? So if it's a case of, right, mashkano b'shat halva'ah, that can't be the explanation of the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elezer. So Ella, mashkano shlo b'shat halva'ato, if you take a mashkon shlo b'shat halva'ah, kuli amal lo plegi, nobody argues, the it lehil de Rabbi Yitzchak. Everybody holds of Rabbi Yitzchak that you're kone the mashkon. B'hacha, b'mashkano b'shat halva'ato. Here the problem is that we're discussing whether he takes out the loan bishat halva'ah or bishomer aveda kamiflag, and they're arguing about a person who's a shomer aveda. Why is that? By shomer aveda, we have a machlokas. The shomer aveda comes to shomer aveda. Rabba amar kishomer chinam that he has a din of a shomer chinam, whereas Rabbi Yosef amar kishomer sachar dami that he has a din of a so shomer sachar. And now the Gemara says lema de Rabbi Yosef tanahi. Now let's suggest here. Now this concept that Rabbi Yosef says that he's a Shomer Sechar here is basically a Machloket Tanaim. Because, how are we going to explain the difference between them? How are we going to explain the Machlokes here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer? We're going to say that Rabbi Eliezer believes that when you are Shomer Mashkon, just like when you're Shomer in Aveda, you are only a Shomer Chinam on the item. If you're Shomer Chinam on the item, if it's Nignav or Nevad, then you're Patur. And then all you do is say, take your shvua that you did nothing wrong here, you won't posheya, that you didn't keep it for yourself, and then you'll get your money because you're just the shomer chinam on the mashkon. On the other hand, if you hold like Rabbi Yosef, that by a shomer aveda, you're shomer sachar, and also by a mashkon, we'll say the same thing over here, that you will be a shomer sachar on the mashkon. Then we're going to suggest over here that if you're Shomer Sechar on the Mashkon, if it's Nigna Ve'avad, you're Chayav L'Shalem. If you're Chayav L'Shalem, you're going to lose out on your loan because you are Chayav because you are a Shomer Sechar. Why are you a Shomer Sechar on an Aveda? Rashi over here says Shchar Mitzvah. Right? That because of this Shchar Mitzvah, because of the Mitzvah that you're doing, therefore you're a Shomer Sechar. And Umalvel Mashkon, Nami Mitzvah. And someone who lends out money, even on a Mashkon, is doing a Mitzvah of lending out the money. So that's the mitzvah that you're doing over here. And since you're occupied or osek b'mitzvah, therefore you become a shomer sachar over here because of the mitzvah that you are doing. Schar mitzvah, the reward of the mitzvah, that will give you the right or makes you into a shomer sachar. Tosos explains this in here and in many other places that what we're talking about here, when we're talking about shomer sachar, is pruta de Rabbi Yosef. And pruta de Rabbi Yosef is simply not that just because you're lending out money, you are therefore osik b'mitzvah and potter min a mitzvah, because that could be true of many mitzvot. You could say about so many other mitzvot that you're doing, or that you have done, that you could be patur. And then what? Then you can suggest that you're a shomer sachar? All of a sudden, if you're doing a mitzvah of some item that belongs to someone else, you become a shomer sachar on it? No. But what's unique over here is yesh lomar d'shani hacha, shomer aveda mashkon. Aveda mashkon are unique. V'kama pa'amim shitasek b'lashotcha l'tzorcho. There are many times that as a shomer aveda, you have to take care of the item that you're watching. You go to shake it out. You do something with the item. At that moment, you're absolutely asuk b'mitzvah. When you're asuk b'mitzvah, then he patir m'litenlo. Then you'll be patur from giving tztaka at that moment. V'hatam, in the cases of other mitzvot, when you're doing them, you could be yecholit koa v'tvol m'makom shlo yevo shamani v'otosha. You can do it in a place where there'll be no ani around at that time. Since it's not something that's just a part of your normal possession, something that you do on a regular or normal basis, you can go out to a place, you'll be in a secluded place, you won't have the problem of being patur min a mitzvah, because you're having the prut of Rabbi Yosef, that you have the ability to patur yourself from giving tzedakah, and through that schar become a shomer sachar. Over here, no, this is different. In the case of mashkon and aveda, these are items that are ever present. They are need to care on a weekly, daily, whatever the time frame is, basis. And during that time, when you're doing that, there could be somebody knocking at the door asking for tzedakah, and you'll be patur in that instance. So therefore, that schar mitzvah is what's poter, makes you into a shomer sachar over here. And that is unique to Mashkon and to Avedah. So now the Gemara says, what? So Lema, the Rav Yosef Tanayim. Let us say the Rav Yosef is a Machloka Tanayim. Whether you are a Shomer Sechar or not, it turns out to be a Machloka Tanayim. The Gemara says, no. Shomer Avedah, Kulam Alma Itlahud Rav Yosef. Everybody holds a Rav Yosef when it comes to a Shomer Avedah. Everybody agrees that you're a Shomer Sechar. But here, Rav Malvit Tzarech LeMashkon Kamith Legeh. They're arguing about a case where the Malva himself needs the Mashkon. What does that mean? He needs the item, the claro that's being left him, he needs, and now he's going to use that item. When he uses that item, he's going to deduct the value of renting that item from the loan. And that way, he will defease the loan by having the usage of the collateral work its way with the schar, the rent that he should have paid for that. That's going to be set off against the loan and reduce the value of the principal or the loan itself. Obviously, you can't just use the mashkon and not deduct from the loan, because that would be rebit, and that would be asur. But he has to deduct from the loan. So that question is now, is that still a mitzvah? The question at hand is, do we have a mitzvah or don't have a mitzvah? Because you need the mashkon, therefore, when you take out the loan, you're really doing it for your own benefit. Do it for your own benefit. Maybe that's not a mitzvah, and that's what Rabbi Lezer will believe. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva will say no. In the end, you're still giving the loan. And even when you give the loan on a mashkon, that's still a mitzvah. And if you're doing a mitzvah, then you are protected, or you're Shomer Sechar, like Rav Yosef. So the question is not whether Rav Yosef is right. Everybody agrees, by Shomer Avedah, Rav Yosef's right, you're Shomer Sechar. The question here is that you're taking the mal, you're lending out money, but you need the mashkon. So in that case, do we say your personal interests are worth driving the loan, and therefore there is no mitzvah involved? There's no mitzvah involved. Then you not have Osik Mitzvah Potter and Mitzvah, you don't have that tour, and therefore you'll never get to be a Shomer Sechar like Rav Yosef. On the other hand, if you believe that when you lend out on a Mashkon, even when you need the Mashkon, you're still doing a Mitzvah, that Mitzvah will then be Potter you from what we call Prutin Rav Yosef, and giving out the money to Tzedakah when you're Osik with that Mashkon, or Asuk in that Mashkon, and therefore you will still be considered classified as a Shomer Sechar, because you are getting a mitzvah. Even though you have some personal benefit here, you're still doing a mitzvah. Because, truthfully, what better mitzvah can you do? You're helping out the person you lent him to. You're actually helping him pay down the loan through using the value of the mashkon, instead of having the mashkon just sit around and do nothing. So that's the explanation that Tosafot gives, as well as Rashi, as what the case of Malveh al-Mashkon is, or Tzarech al-Mashkon is. And then Rabbi Chanan says that Tzarech al-Mashkon is Shehenu Tzala Vot Lo Below Mashkon. He's only willing to give out the loan with collateral. I mean, as opposed to what that seems to be from the Rabbeinu Chananel, is that if you lend without a mashkon, then you're doing the mitzvah. If you demand a mashkon, then maybe you're not doing a mitzvah. I mean, the mitzvah is to take risk with your capital and lend it out to someone. On the other hand, if you take mashkon, you protect yourself by taking out a mashkon, then you're not really doing a mitzvah, because you have the full value of whatever you lent out sitting with you in this mashkon over here. So that'll be the principle, or the way that Rabbeinu Chananel explains it. Rav Tosafot said doesn't like that explanation. It's kasha da'atu mishum da'achi la mitzvah kavid. You're not doing a mitzvah because you take collateral. I mean, that collateral, that's the way people normally lend out. They lend out with collateral in order to protect themselves. That doesn't mean you're not doing a mitzvah. It just means that you are doing what people normally do, is that they accept collateral for the amount. That's Tosafot's understanding. Again, we explained now what the Rabbeinu Chananel could be, that meaning lending out means and taking risk with your capital, just like tzedakah. The idea of tzedakah was that you have to lose money. So to over here, when you're going to do the mitzvah of lending money to someone else, you have to put your capital at risk. If you're taking a mashkon, you're not putting your capital at risk. You're not doing a mitzvah. Yes, you're doing something. You're lending him money. It's a very nice thing, but that's not a mitzvah anymore, because you've protected yourself through a mashkon, at least according to the Rabbeinu Chananel. Now, the Gemara over here seems to indicate that Rabbi Yosef is itznahi. The Gemara has a havamina. And on this, Rashi says, and Rav is definitely a machlokas tanaim. If he says shomer chinam, there's no way that he can explain Rabbi Akiva's position if he thinks he's a shomer chinam over here. And therefore, he vaday has to explain Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva as a machlokas tanaim. On the other hand, the Gemara says no, that everybody holds, like Rabbi Yosef, that a shomer sachar or a shomer vidat is a shomer sachar. The only question here is, are you doing a mitzvah in our case or not doing a mitzvah? And that'll be the question at hand. Well, based on that, it seems that our Gemara is favoring Rabbi Yosef's position very heavily, and therefore many of the poskim, including Rashi and including the Rabbeinu Chananel, all say the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef. Halacha is like Rabbi Yosef because here the Gemara says kum le alma it lehud Rabbi Yosef. Everybody holds Rabbi Yosef, and we know that Rabba is vaday amachlokasi. Tosfos here and in Bava Metzia and Bava Kama and all the places that we mentioned this idea of prutah Rabbi Yosef, he says no, I disagree, and I think that the halacha is like Rabba, because we know first of all the halacha is like Rabba versus Rabbi Yosef in many other instances. And he brings additional proofs to the fact that Rab, the halacha should be like Rabba here, that he's really a shomer chinam in this case. If that's the situation, then how do you explain our Gemara over here where we say that everybody holds of Rav Yosef? What does that mean that everybody holds of Rav Yosef? And then, or implying maybe that not everybody holds of Rabba. Tosafot says no, that you have to say, now Rabba is vade lav tanaim. Rabba is definitely not a machlokes tanaim over here. The only question is Rav Yosef. That kuli alma itluhu de Rabba, everybody can hold like Rabba, but Shmuel comes again. They could be arguing in the din of Shmuel. The din of Shmuel is okay. You are a shomer chinam over here. The only question is, do you lose the whole loan or you don't lose it? Is it zikaron de alma or is it a piraon? That'll be the question here. But everybody can hold the Rabba. The question is by Rabbi Yosef. Right, that's where the question arises, whether maybe possibly it's a machloket tanaim, and then the Gemara rejects it and says, no, everybody holds a Rav Yosef. But not to say that everybody holds a Rav Yosef, but Rav is definitely a machlokes. No, Rav is also not a machlokes. It's only a question if Rav Yosef is a machlokes, and the Gemara rejects it and says that Rav Yosef is also not a machlokes tanaim, and Rav Yosef could explain himself, or everybody could explain Rav Yosef, even according to both opinions here in the Braita. Because even Rav, in the end, will agree to the position of Rav Yosef that Osek mitzvah is potter mitzvah. What he disagrees about here simply is proof to the Rav Yosef enough of a schar to make you into an osik b'mitzvah. Here you have something so small, something that you do, it's of a diminished value, and therefore maybe that's not considered that hanah is enough or frequent enough to make you into a shomer sachar. He agrees that osik b'mitzvah is poter min mitzvah. The only question now is that when you're osik b'mitzvah here and you get some sort of tour in this unusual circumstance where you're working on the Avedah and an ani comes to your door and you're helping not to have to give tzedakah, that will make you into shomer sachar. He says that's just too far-fetched. It's not enough money or value for a person to be willing to accept or become a shomer sachar for that value. Okay, now the Gemara continues and says, Lema kitanai. Okay, now we tried to set up Shmuel as other machloket tanaim, and the Gemara went off and said, no, the machloket tanaim over here has nothing to do with Shmuel. Now the Gemara says, let's try another set of tanaim and say they are arguing in Shmuel, which is, Malvit chayro al hamashkon, that a person lends his friend on the mashkon, and if the says shmita, and then the shmita comes, afal pi she'enu shaveh el palga, even if it's not worth even half, enum shamet, if the shmita here does not affect the loan. Divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi omer, v'ayam mashkono k'neged chovo, if the mashkon is worth the full value of the chov, Eino mishamet, then shmita doesn't affect it. V'im lav mishamet, and if it does, if it's not up to the full value, then the shmita will be mishamet. My eino mishamet. What the kamar tana kamo? The Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, when he says eino mishamet, what does it mean eino mishamet? He says here we know that the mashkon is not worth the full value of the loan. So when he says eino mishamet, he means the entire loan is still outstanding. What does he mean? What is keneged the mashkon? Whatever the value of the mashkon is, that will save for that part of the loan. Ilei makenegdo. If you say the only thing it saves over here is the value equal to the mashkon. That means that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi believes when he says it is mishamet, means that even the part the connected the mashkon is mishamet. Mashkon itself will have no bearing on the loan, and the entire loan will be forgiven. So my toughest mashkon. Then why is he taking mashkon? Mashkon's doing nothing to protect him over here because the loan's going to get wiped out by the shemitah. Elav must be connected kulo. That this mashkon here that's not worth the full value of the loan yet will still protect the entire value of the loan. Over the Shmuel come if they're arguing in Shmuel. So therefore, if they're arguing, what does it mean they're arguing in Shmuel? That Rabbi Shimon believes, like Shmuel, that if you have a mashkon that's worth a portion of the value of the item, then you lose out the entire loan if you lose the mashkon. And so too, when you have a mashkon over here that's half the value, it will protect the entire value of the loan when it comes to Shemitah. Just like if you lost the mashkon, you lose the whole loan. So too now, when you have the mashkon, it protects the entirety of the loan. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, no, I don't hold like Shmuel. And therefore, if you have a mashkon, it's not worth the full value of the loan. If you lose the mashkon, you do not lose the loan. And so too by Shemitah. If you have a mashkon that's not worth the full value of the loan, sure, the mashkon will protect its own value, but it will protect no more than its own value. Because I don't think that a mashkon that's worth less than the value of the loan can be somehow equated to the entirety of the loan. So the olam kenegdo. That over here, we're talking about when it says, enum mishamed, it means enum mishamed kenegdo. And Rabbi Akiva, that means Rabbi Yehuda Nasi will say when it's Mishamei Kenegdo means you lose everything. The Tanakh says up to the value of the Mashkon is protected. Even up the value of the Mashkon you lose out. We said before, Kamarta, my tough is lay Mashkon. Why are you taking Mashkon then if it's not going to protect you for anything? The answer is, it's a reminder that the loan is outstanding. And this is what we said before, that the Machlokas might revolve around This machlokes over here was what the purpose of the mashkon is. The purpose of the mashkon is the koron is very ba'alma. Somebody there is a reminder that the loan is outstanding, but has nothing to do or no equation with the value of the loan. And therefore, it's lost. It doesn't affect the ability to collect the loan. On the other hand, if you think that the mashkon is taken as a pure own, some form of payment, even though it may not be the full payment of the loan, according to Shmuel, it would look like the full payment of the loan, even though it doesn't have the value of the whole loan, because that's the equation you created. You said, I took this mashkon, and until you return the mashkon, that mashkon will act as your piron, as your payment, until you return it, and then you'll get cash payment. On the other hand, in our case here, Shimon Gamliel believes that up to the value of the mashkon, that is weighed against the loan, and that protects the loan up to the value of the mashkon. But we're still looking at the mashkon for its value, not for its ability to remind us of the loan, but actually for its true or underlying value. Okay, so we'll stop over here, and then we'll continue tomorrow with the beginning of the Mishnah in the new parak.